Okay, I want to continue doing a series called King of Glory, and really is about the glory of Jesus Christ, the Lion of Judah. And I want to share this morning about the Lord our Provider. And this is a very important topic, I think, is in this time, even this week. You know, you hear all the reports that the Rand is taking a dive, and Eastern Cape economy is taking a dive, and things are battling in different areas. The mining industry is struggling, health industry is struggling, education is struggling. You hear all these reports of things not working. And when I speak to some people, then I hear their businesses are battling. And so I'm just picking up, you know, there's lots of fear around the issues of the economy and the challenges of our finances. You know, and when all these things happen, it can easily lead us to become extremely negative. You know, you can say, oh, you know, I don't know if you've ever, you read News 24 or one of those sites, and then you read articles about something, not, and then you go down to the comments. Have you ever gone down to the comments? Whoa, you know, it's like, Jesus, wash me now after that. You know, it's like, whoa, it's negative. It's like, yo, it really defiles your soul if you read all of them. And I pick up, it's sometimes good to read it, and you see where people are at in the country. They're extremely negative, and that negativity often leads to hopelessness or despair, in a sense. You know, you have no more hope for the country, and it leads to fear, you know, and fear leads to an irrational behavior. Fear will lead us to irrational actions and thinking. And so some people say, oh, let's immigrate and go somewhere else so it's better. Sorry to say, people, the devil is in Australia too. You know, it's not, he's everywhere, okay? So you're going to find challenges everywhere. And to be honest, I enjoy, actually, when there are a bit of challenges around. I think it's an awesome opportunity for God to step onto the scene. It's awesome when a country is actually in a place where they're desperate. And then we must just pray and trust they'll become desperate for God. And that is not bad. That is good. That is awesome. Our God is faithful. But so many of us are walking around with sort of a knot in our stomach, you know, that the few times that I have, few times in my life that I've been being stressed or pressured around the issue of finances, you know, it's not fun. It's one of those things, when it comes to money, it like, oh, it's one of those things that can really make you anxious. Would you agree? It's one of those few things that has such a hold on our lives, and it can consume us. And so I want to minister this morning. I want to address the issue of fear. I'm trusting that God's going to set us free from fear, from anxiety. You can actually have loads of money and still be anxious. Loads of money and be anxious. It's the amount you have is not the issue. It's what's happening in your heart. And so we want to pray for people as well, for businesses. I want to share how we can overcome the fear of our finances or the issues of fear, but also how to access God's supernatural provision. This is something the Lord's been speaking to me about. There's one thing of being a faithful steward, and we must be. We must be faithful with God places within our hands, but we should trust Him for more, to access His supernatural provision. He doesn't want us to live in an area of lack. So I want to share a few things to show us how to access God's supernatural provision. But I want to read this quote from the guy called Francis from last week. He said, "Our salvation is nothing less than the perfect one dwelling in the imperfect ones." So it's the perfect one dwelling in you and me, imperfect ones. "The Almighty abiding in the feeble." Christ in us, the hope of glory. "The Almighty abiding in the feeble." And then "the all-sufficient God dwelling among insufficient people." The all-sufficient God dwelling among the insufficient people. That's our God. This is the mystery and the glory of our salvation. Christ, in his completeness, has extended himself into our lives. Christ, in his completeness, has extended himself into our lives. And so sometimes we know God as Savior. Yes, my name is written in heaven. I'm going to heaven. Awesome. But we don't know him as our provision, as our provider. And because we don't know him in that area, we can't trust him. And so we can't access his provision. So I'm trusting to build up your faith this morning. I want to quickly share with you an account of what happened in Korea, in Seoul, Korea. I've been reading a bit about this, but they call it the miracle of the Han River. And if you put the graph on there, you'll see it sort of represents the GDP, gross domestic product, sort of as a measure to show the economic strength of the country. So in the beginning 1900s, it was like close to zero. I mean, it was down there. It was not going well. And then there, beginning 60s, it started to grow at an incredible rate. They had a war in the 50s, extreme poverty. The country was shot to pieces. They were fighting against North Korea. And the people were desperate. Since the beginning 1960s, the economy has been transformed, and the city, Seoul, is 10 million people in the country, in the city. The wider city, 25 million, half of the country basically in that wider city area. It has become, over the last 50 years, I think the third or fourth best place to live in the world in the sense of living conditions. The living conditions in the last 50 years has completely transformed. They call it the miracle of the Han River. And I want to tell you about a young man, 23-year-old, called David Yonggi Cho. 23-year-old, in 1958, he started to preach in Seoul, in the slums. He was extremely poor himself, and there was extreme poverty around him. He was preaching in the slums, and he started to preach a message that Jesus heals, that Jesus delivers, and Jesus sets you free from poverty. Those are the three things he started to preach. And they really prayed. You know, I know sometimes you guys think, oh, Thursday night, 7 o'clock. Ooh, we might go over an hour. Oh, la 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 ma. That's voos. Okay? These guys started to pray. They prayed 10 hours a day. He and another lady started to pray 10 hours a day, starting 4:30 in the morning. They would pray 10 hours a day. 10 hours a day. They had this incredible culture of pain, but he started to preach this message. Then the church started to grow. God started to heal the sick. Miracles started to happen. Witch doctors or whatever they call them, their area, came to Christ. And the church started to grow and grow. 10 years later, by the end of the 60s, they were 10,000 people. They built the largest sanctuary church in the world at that stage in 1972. And do you know where they built this sanctuary? They built it on an island in the middle of the Han River. The secular world caused the economic change in the country, the miracle of the Han River. Now you have this church being planted in the middle of the Han River on this island. The church, when they built the building, was 10,000 people. Then the 10,000 in 1 year went to 100,000. 100,000 went to 200,000 the next year, 300 and something thousand. By 1982, 1983, there were 700,000 people in the church. By 2006, there were 1 million people in the church. One church. They have like 25 to 30,000 small groups. Small groups. Okay. Now we're all humble. Okay, Jesus, we know you can do more. But a young man, 23-year-old young man, who started to proclaim to the poor people that Jesus will set you free from poverty. And Seoul, that city, I mean, 1 million out of the 10 million, or 1 million out of the greater region of 25 million, are in this church, and there are many, many other churches. God has done amazing things in that place. He actually turned the economy around. I believe it was a God thing. Obviously, you can go and study it and look at all the reasons why. But I honestly believe that Jesus is the solution to every problem. Our God is the solution to the problems in this nation. So dream with me for a moment. What about the miracle of the Buffalo River? What about that? Why not? Why not? What if the church in this region arises starting to preach a message that poverty is not the will of God? And God backs their words and he transforms this region. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to people and say, yeah, Jesus loves you. Oh, hallelujah. Sorry, but he can't provide you a job, you know, but he's big. He's big, you know. He's awesome. Worship him. But there's no work for you. I don't know. That just doesn't sit well with me. That's not the God I serve. And so I want to invite you to dream with me. To dream with me for this region and for this nation, that our God can do the same. Our God can do miracles. Our God can transform this region. I have a heart. I believe God wants to position ourselves as a church in a place where we can make an impact on the poorest of the poor. But to do that, you need a gospel of power. You need real solutions for the problems that there are. And so I sort of want to announce us a journey that we need to now start walking. It says God is starting to speak to me about this. And we need to trust the Lord to prosper. I haven't often spoken about prosperity. I know there are lots of negative stuff around it, excesses around prosperity. But there's lots of good. Our God is the one who provides. And so Genesis 26, verse 12 to 14, prosperity. It's Isaac, the son of Abram. It says, then Isaac sowed in that land. He took seed and he sowed in the land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. He reaped in the same year a hundredfold. So there's this sowing, doing what is something natural, but then reaping a supernatural reward because God blessed him. And so I'm trusting that God would bless each and every one of you in your workplace, in your businesses, that you can almost do the same old, but yet with the supernatural blessing of God, they will take you to another level. And then it goes on, verse 13, the man began to prosper. Say prosper. And he continued prospering until he became very prosperous. That's amazing. It's got God trying to make a point there. Began to prosper. He continued prospering until he became very prosperous, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. Yeah, he had a business and God blessed the business. And he had many employees. And whatever he put his hand to, the Lord prospered. And that is his heart. You know, sometimes we put God in a box. We see him only as spiritual, but it's more than that. He blesses the natural. So why? Why does God want to prosper us? Well, there are a few different reasons, but you can go through the whole Old Testament. So many people that were blessed physically, naturally. Abram and Jacob and Joseph. When Israel left Egypt, they plundered Egypt. David and Solomon and many others. There are also so many promises in the New Testament that says that God wants to prosper you so that you will have enough for every good work. Enough for the kingdom. Enough for what God wants to do. That is his heart. So why does God bless us? Well, one reason is he's a loving father. He is a loving father. Now, me as his dad to my boy, I don't want to give my boy just enough. I don't want him just to, like, you know, no. You must starve a little bit, you know. It's good for your character, okay? That's not the heart of God. The heart of God is to, I want to bless my son. I want him to have more than enough. I want to teach him how to steward what I give him effectively, but I want to bless him. That's the heart of God. You, if you're a believer here this morning, you are a son of God or a daughter of God. That is so profound. In other words, when you are battling, when you're struggling, we don't know which way to turn to your dad and say, Dad, your business is battling. I don't know what to do. God, help me. And he will. He is faithful. Our God is faithful. Poverty is not of God. The second reason is the first one is just a loving father. That's what he wants. Secondly, for the kingdom's sake, God's people must be blessed. Survival and survival mode is not overcoming victory. It's not overcoming victory. And thirdly, poverty isn't of God, just like sickness isn't of him. He's not the author of sickness. He's not the author of poverty. And he gives us keys to break free from it. That is what God wants to do. Now, true prosperity isn't primarily financially or materially. True prosperity isn't primarily financially or materially. That's not the sign of true prosperity. You can have, to have loads of money is not a sign that God is with you. Okay, we can look at a few people in the world, they have loads of money. I don't think God's with them. You know, they are very much anti-God. So that's not necessarily a sign. There are loads of ungodly people with lots of stuff. So that's not a sign of God being with us. The intangibles are the most valuable. Joy and peace, relationships that work, marriages that work, that those things, intangibles, those are precious. Those are truly, truly valuable. But do you know how it feels to not have anything? I don't really know, but I've known stress around finances. But we were doing this marriage enrichment preparation course on Monday, and we're speaking to the guys, and just realized, you know, when a man is under massive financial pressure and work stress, do you know how that affects a man? It's like you can't focus on your wife, you can't focus on your kids, you just want to get food on the table. It's all consuming to you. And so I realized just in terms of healthy marriages, you need to flourish financially. I'm not talking about have millions and millions and millions. I'm just having more than enough so that you can have actually space in your head and your heart to focus on what is truly important. Otherwise, we fall back to survival mode, survival mode, survival mode. So it is God's heart to bless us. So should we just pray and trust God for miracles? Just sit and hum, God bless us. Is that what it's about? Just, you know, just supernatural, just going to fall out of the sky? No, it's not how it works. Proverbs 22:29. Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. So we must work hard, but we also work smart. We must trust God, but by His Spirit to guide us, to give us the shortcut, the easier way, the better way, the more effective way to do whatever we need to do. I've heard so many stories of accounts of people where God just reveals something to them, and it's just so fresh, so new from Him, and it just boggles the mind, and it just works beautifully. Trust God to give you supernatural insight and understanding. Okay, so yes, work hard, work smart, critical, but that's not what I want to talk about now. I want to speak to you about three things, basically, that how God provides for us, how we can position ourselves in a place where we can tap into His supernatural provision, but also get free from fear. So in Genesis 22, there's an account of Abram. Now, Abram was the forefather of the faith. God appeared to him and God blessed him. He had lots of stuff, livestock and servants. But they didn't have children. And so they were praying for years, saying, God, we want children. How can you say you're going to bless the nations through us, but we don't have children? And then his wife Sarah, she became pregnant. She was very old, supernatural. And then sometime later, God appeared to Abram. And God spoke to Abram and said, Abram, take your son, your only son, and take him to the mountain that I tell you to, and offer him up to me as an offering, as a sacrifice. Imagine that. I would think that's the devil. Devil, go away. Go away. That's not God. That can't be God. You must be crazy. The promise that's been given to him, he's our very own son. Now God says, give him to me. And so then he has 3 days that he has to travel. The next morning he gets up, he goes to this place where God says, I can just imagine what was going through his head. I'm just wondering how much fear he had. God, I can't believe you're telling me to do this. This is my son. God, this is your promise. This is your blessing to me. I can just imagine the wrestling process, the fear of losing his only son. And God sort of hammering the same thing. your only son, Abram. Take your only son. And so he went. And so the boy at some stage, maybe 10 years old, some, there's different opinions around, maybe he was 18 years old, don't know. Then the boy would say, "Dad, where's the lamb or the goat or whatever?" And then Abram answered and said, "God will provide for himself the offering." And so Abram put his son on this altar. He took the knife in his hand. He was about to kill his own son. And then an angel spoke up. God spoke up and he said the following, verse 12. And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Now I know." It was a test. It was a test by God to see, "Abram, do you fear me? That when I tell you to give to me what I want, you did it. Do you fear me? Do you fear me?" And that's my sort of my challenge to you. We've been speaking about the fear of God the last month or so. The fear of God is not a negative fear. It's a reverence. It's a respect. It's a holy fear. It's like, "God, you the one and only God. You are awesome. You are my source. You're my everything." And so Abram passed the test. My question is to us, can God challenge you? Can God ask you to give something to him? Or have you put a block in your mind? Because some of us in that space is like, "No, I will not receive anything that would..." No. No, that's the devil. No. "I will not receive anything that would challenge me to let go of something that's precious to me." Do we fear God? Do we fear God? Would we obey God even when it doesn't seem to benefit us? That's the fear of God. That's a reverence for God. "Okay, God, this doesn't make sense. But I know it's you. Doesn't seem to benefit me, but I'm going to do it because, God, you're God." Sacrificial obedience. A willingness to obey. You see, when we fear God, then we no longer fear anything else. Abram feared God more than he feared losing his son. Abram had more respect for God. He was so overwhelmed with who God was that overwhelmed his fear of losing his very own son. And in that is the key for us to overcome the fear of lack. When we reverence God as our everything and as our source, we can fear nothing else. You won't fear the devil. You won't fear lack. Because you know my God is great and awesome. My God is powerful. We should fear God more than we fear lack. Okay, and so it goes on to the next verse. Verse 13 to 14. We're talking about overcoming fear. Overcoming the fear of lack. "Then Abram lifted his eyes and looked. And there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abram went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abram called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide.'" Can you say that? "The Lord will provide." That's so powerful. "The Lord will provide." He called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," Jehovah Jireh. "As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." That's such a powerful prophetic statement. It says, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. On the mountain of the Lord it shall be provided." And obviously there's a prophetic picture of one day. Some people believe that the same place that Abram sacrificed or about to sacrifice his son was the same place that Jesus was crucified. So there was a picture of one day God the Father would give his only son for us on the mountain. In the mountain of the Lord, in the mount of the Lord, he will provide. That is the ultimate sacrifice. But I want to highlight three things. First thing is, it reveals a place, the mountain of the Lord is a place of surrender. Secondly, the mountain of the Lord is a place of sacrificial obedience. And thirdly, the mountain of the Lord is a spiritual place of authority that God is calling us to access his supernatural provision. So I quickly want to touch on each of those just to give you a breakdown of it. Okay, so first one is a place of surrender. You know, when you have financial stress, you're worried about how is this going to work out? How do you deal with that? Surrender. Surrender. Sometimes you have to do it daily. I remember when we came, I've shared the story before, when we came to East London, there was a period of 8 months that I couldn't get my house sold in Cape Town. It was standing empty. We're losing 10,000 rand a month. Sonica wasn't working because we just had a baby when we arrived here. Church was 15 to 20 people. It was very, very, very stressful. But it was beautiful. It's weird that the most challenging times in your life is actually the most special if you take it to God. And so I was forced daily on my knees before God, say, God, this is not fun. Just that you know, this is not fun. But secondly, God, I surrender. Lord, if this church is of you, it's going to work. If you've called us here, it's going to work. I am your servant. You are my God. I surrender. And you need to come to that place. And I had to do it daily for months. And sometimes we need to do that daily where we come, God, I surrender everything to you. You see, you and I, if you want to overcome fear, you need to know God owns everything and he controls it all. That's surrender. God, everything that I am, everything that I have is yours. It's your problem if I don't have food on the table. It's your problem. And so you need to do the same with your business. You need to lay it down to God and say, God, this is your business. This is yours, God. I hand it over. Use it for your glory. You see, but fear makes us irrational. It makes us irrational. Isn't it rational to trust God with your finances since all of it belongs to him? Isn't it rational? If it all belongs to him, shouldn't you trust him for it? And isn't it rational to trust God with something that's beyond your control anyway? It's beyond your control. You can't work. If you're a business owner, I mean, things can change at any time. You do not have control. So why are you trying to keep control? Hand it over to God. Doesn't that make it irrational to trust God for your eternal destiny, yet decline his invitation to direct your finances? It's irrational to say, God, I trust you to go to heaven one day. When I die, I'm going straight home to heaven. But, God, no. Money. Lord, no. I'm not going to give. I'm not going to give, hand it over to you. And then, so there's this place of surrender. There's this, it's like a picture, the stream of God's supernatural provision. It's like a stream. You need to go plant yourself in the middle of that stream so that that supernatural provision can come, so that that blessing can rest upon you. But the key is there must be an inflow and an outflow, a through flow. If we start to hoard, to hold, it can't flow through us. It can't flow through us. It will cut off that supernatural provision. God doesn't want to bless you and me just so that we can up our standard of living. Question, why does God bless you? Why has God blessed you? So you can bless somebody else. It really is about that. It's about being in a position where God can trust us enough to say, I know you're faithful with what I give you. It will be a through flow. That's what God wants to do. Getting God involved in your finances involves surrendering control of your money to him. And it means answering the call to generosity. Hand over that control and say yes to generosity. God wants to entrust vast portions of his empire into our care, but it's not for us. It's not for you. It is for the cause. It's for the kingdom. And overcoming fear lies in changing our idea of ownership. And so I want to encourage you, if you're battling in this area, work through that process and surrender that control to the Lord. So I want to ask Rion just to share something in the way he's been doing his business. And he's been a big blessing in the way I can see he's a giver. And I just wanted him to share it with you.
Morning, church. OK, Yeah, I just want to share my testimony just about my business, but I just want to bring hope to the business people out there and you out there that's employed. The word says that you must work as if you're working to God, so whatever that may be, professional rugby player, you do it the best and the best way that you can. Okay, so I'm just going to read because I don't want to really miss anything here. 3 years ago, I was fasting and praying to God about a new challenge of purchasing my own business. And God says in His Word that He gives us the desires of our heart. And at that time, there were three things that I was trusting Him for, just the journey that I had been over 20 years prior to that point. It was, number one, it was a business of my own. Number two, was a business that I could run independently, that could run independently of me at times. So sort of a micromanaged business. And a business that I could have a platform where to sow into His kingdom from. Well, eight months after that period, 3 years ago, He gave me everything and more. So, God can turn everything to the good. He changes hopeless situations into mighty victories. And my business and me myself am proof of that fact. My business on tap, 2 years ago, during my due diligence period, faced only two certain outcomes. One was certain closure. Secondly, was a willing buyer. But even on the evidence of the financials at that stage was a long shot. But God told me what seems impossible with man is possible with Him. From the first month, the business showed a profit. And God has just done more than what I could ever dream or imagine since that day. The first financial year, we produced a substantial turnaround from a large monetary loss the year before, prior with the old owners, to the first year that I had taken over into a significant profit. From a business about to close the doors, we won a prestigious award from our franchise holding group of the most improved on-tap store in the country. With it, a trip overseas, myself and Lee, and many other prizes. But I'm not saying that in a boastful way. I'm just saying how God can turn a situation around. God has blessed me with wonderful staff, a wonderful business partner, people that are knowledgeable in the industry, and all glory and honor to Him. The truth is that God doesn't work, I believe, like a slot machine either if you're a business person today. You're not going to put R2 in and a Coke can's going to come rolling out. We can't just arrive there, open the door, and it all happens. No, not at all. Budget, vision, strategy, wisdom, all of these things are very important. But He desires, number one, to be on the throne in your business. Is self on the throne of your business? We have to ask ourselves that question. How much profit can I make? How much can I increase my stuff? Or is your desire to say that this business is yours, God? Direct my path. And I've made a conscious decision, and I did 3 years ago, to grow God's kingdom through my business. Do I get blessed along the way? For sure. He's a good God and He desires to bless us. I heard a story of a businessman in Johannesburg that God's just blessed amazingly over the last couple of years, and he's grown his business to a point where he gives away 90% of his profits. He gives it away, charity, tithing to the community, and he lives sufficiently on the 10%. Wow, what an inspiration for a business person. That maybe is not for all of us, but I ask you, what is God calling you to do? Through the business I've had over the last 2 years, the privilege to sow into the community in many occasions. One of them was to the King's Children's Home for abandoned children, and we were able to grow into that project and uplift them at the same time. Another one is St. Bernard's Hospice and many others. But as business people, we need to be real. There are challenges along the way. Do we have slow months? For sure we do. Do some debtors pay slowly? Yes, they do, unfortunately. Do we sometimes have cash flow concerns? For sure. But at the end of the day, our trust is in God. He is our provider, and He directs our path. I've seen and I'm living proof of how God favors us as business people if we make Him the CEO of our business. We can ask Him for wisdom. He freely gives it. At the end of the day, we make many more good decisions than bad ones. And we as a business have made a decision to put God first, everything else second. So all glory to Him, the King of Kings.
Amen. Thanks, Rion. And I wanted him to share that, because if you want to get into that flow of the supernatural provision of God, you need to hand over control to Him. You have to say, God, this business is yours, God. Use it for your glory. I mean, if we want to make an impact on the economy of this region as the church, then the business community, the people that are working, need to position themselves in the right place. Maybe you're just an employee. But you can pray a blessing on your business that there will be increase, there will be more jobs for people, that God would supernaturally bless it. So the first thing is just surrender. Surrender it all to Him. Then secondly, sacrificial obedience. Matthew 6:33, it says, He will give you all you need from day to day. That's His commitment. If you live for Him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. And that must be our passion. You see, if you are just looking out for number one, for yourself, you will never be motivated to be sacrificial in your giving. But if you are passionate for a cause and to see the kingdom extended, if you are passionate to see lives transformed, that passion on the inside of you will motivate you to position yourself as a God, show me the way. I'm willing. Just lead me, God. And then when the Lord then challenges you to go for it, then go for it. You see, there's a threshold of fear when it comes to giving. You see, it's through giving that we access supernatural provision, but there's a threshold. That threshold is for each of us different. For instance, for me and Sonica, tithing, giving 10% of our income to the local church, that's not a pressure. That's like baby steps. That's like, no problem, I can do that for the rest of my life without any stress or any fear. That's not, our threshold is beyond that. And so we need to go find our threshold. God, how far can we take this? How far can we take this? And I want to challenge you to go beyond your current threshold. Maybe your current threshold is 1% of giving. Go beyond it. What if God called you to give beyond your comfort level? Would you be afraid? Would you try to explain it away or dismiss it as impractical? And in the process, would you miss out? Miss out on a glorious harvest? As you sow, there will be a reaping of the blessings of God. That's, you see, fear makes us irrational. It's like a farmer. A farmer has seed, and when he becomes fearful, he becomes an irrational farmer would be like, oh, no, I must hold on to my seed. I can't plant it because I might lose all my seed. But he will never reap a harvest if he doesn't plant it. Doesn't make sense. You become irrational because of fear. Then you hold on to that which was destined to be sowed into the kingdom. And so the scriptures speak of two types of seeds. The one part of our finances is bread. It's for ourselves. God blesses us because He looks after us. Another section of our income are seeds. And you need to go determine before the Lord what are seeds that you can sow into His kingdom, sow into children's homes, sow into wherever the Lord would lead you. Any fear associated with giving into God's kingdom is irrational, as that with a farmer. We must break through that. And worse, if we, many people are not in a place of cheerful giving, they're in a place of fearful giving. And so we lose our joy. And we're unable to give as the Lord wants us to give. And even a worse place, when we actually hold on to our seed, even a worse place we find ourselves in is that we lock ourselves into debt or whatever we're in. We lock ourselves in, we lock God out. It's through sowing our seed that we access God's supernatural provision. Okay, yay, hallelujah, praise Jesus, say hallelujah. 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 We all want to be blessed, don't we? Who wants to be blessed? Blessed? Yes. We get excited about supernatural provision. Yes. We're not so excited about sacrificial obedience. Yay. But it's the way to the provision of God. It's the only way. It's the only way. You have to break through your fear by actually giving and seeing God's supernatural provision. And so the Lord might lead you to a place, say tithing or 10%, 11%, 12%, 15%. And how he often works with people is, or with us as well, we would be on a certain level of giving. And then sometimes God will come like he comes to Abram, not as bad, but sort of, and say, you know, that 10,000 rand you have there somewhere, or that 15,000 or this, give it there. Like, oh God. Could the Lord speak to you? Are you open to him speaking to you? We have a bit of savings. Every now and again, I'm saying, Lord, oh, it's yours. If you want it, I'll give it. If you want it, I'll give it, God. I'm willing. I'm not going to hold on to it. So I want to challenge you, if business owners as well, why not give a percentage of your business? Some of the guys here are doing it. Why not give, I'm not saying to the church, I'm saying to wherever the Lord leads you to give it. Become a generous giver. Obedience level giving. I believe it starts at 10% tithe minimum. That's what I believe the scriptures say. 10% start point, boom, and then you move beyond it. It actually liberates you to become an extravagant giver. Okay, hallelujah. And then third thing. So the first one is surrender. Secondly is sacrificial obedience. Open the door for God to lead you in there. If you want him to truly, truly prosper you, truly bless you, can he trust you? I mean, if you are unable to give a 10% now, why should the Lord give you a million rand and it's not going to go to his kingdom? Why? God would be a bad steward to give it to you because he knows that you can't trust it. The stats show that the more money you have, the less people give. The stats show the richer people in the world, percentage-wise, give less. So you need to start at your 3 rand per month, 30 rand per month, and grow it up from there. Okay, now, to end off, this is good stuff. I want to challenge you, just very shortly. It says, in the mount of the Lord. I want to connect it with last week. Moses went up onto the hill. He raised his hands, and the armies that were battling at the bottom, the Israelites against the Amalekites, as Moses raised his hands, God intervened, and the Israelites would win. And I want to encourage us. I believe this is lacking when it comes to our finances and our businesses. We are not going up onto the mount of the Lord. We're not going up onto that place of spiritual authority. Taking authority over our businesses, over our workplace, over our finances. Some of us are giving a tithe every month, but you're not praying. You're not making a declaration. You're not saying, God, as I give this, I am declaring, I'm investing in your kingdom, and I'm expecting a reward. I'm expecting a reaping as I'm sowing into your kingdom. How many of us are going to our businesses, anointing the business, saying, God, this place, it's yours. I hand over control to you, but I also trust you and expect a blessing on this place in Jesus' name. To access, to go onto that mountaintop and say, God, in the name of Jesus, pour out your blessing upon this place. John 14:13, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Start making declarations over your business. Say, Lord, you will prosper. Go read Deuteronomy 28. I will be the head and not the tail. Lord, everything I put my hand to will prosper. Start making declarations over it. Get up in the morning, take up your place on that hill of the Lord and say, God, I am expecting to access your supernatural provision. And then just lastly, this verse, Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He gave us his son, Jesus Christ. How much more will he not give us every other thing? You see, fear causes us to stay in a place where we just look after me, myself. Faith is when we step out and we say, God, it's not about me. It's about your kingdom. It's about people who are desperate out there. I want to position myself in that stream where that life can flow. If you guys don't prosper, if the people in churches don't prosper in this city, the economy won't prosper. There won't be work. God can't bless the region if he doesn't bless his people. So we are the channel through which God wants to bless us. He's freely given us all things. And he wants us to take it to another level. So there's a declaration I want us to do. I want to read it. We want to start doing this during our offering times. Instead of just giving passively, we want to start declaring the word of God over our lives, over our financial lives, over our businesses, over the community. So I'm just going to read it once, and then we're going to make a declaration together. But it says, as we give our tithes and offerings, we declare that we live in the glory of increase and multiplication. There's power in a truth declaration, especially if more than one do it together. We live in the glory of increase and multiplication. You meet all our needs according to your riches and glory. We experience great abundance because of you. We, our families, and East London live in the overflow. The overflow. You are the God of plenty, so we will never experience lack. When we do experience lack, we praise him despite. But we continue to trust him for more. We are blessed in everything. The storehouses of heaven are open to us. You are a good God, and we eagerly anticipate your goodness today. We bless your name. Hallelujah. Just imagine for a moment that in our workplaces, just imagine in our workplaces that the Lord comes and he blesses us. Say in Rion's business, he has employees in his business. Now, if that grows and there are more businesses opening up and he's more employees, he becomes a pastor. He becomes a shepherd to the flock of his employees. He can make a huge impact. And so each of us can make a huge impact on the lives of people if the Lord starts to truly prosper and bless us. So you need to make a shift from survival mode. I must just get by, just have a little bit of saving so I can go on my holiday and go beyond and say, God, I want to be a channel through which your kingdom can come. I want you to bless my farm, Lord, so that those farm workers can see God is with me. So I can lead them to you, God, so I can bless them and serve them. God, so we can have more people working on that farm. Our God can do anything. There are so many testimonies of people doing, of God blessing people, believers, Christians, and the kingdom coming. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. So to summarize, first step is surrender. God, you are the owner of everything I have. You must start there, otherwise you will have fear. Surrender. Even if you have to do it daily, do it daily. Then sacrificial obedience. Open the door for God and say, God, whatever you want, I'll give it. Whatever you want, I'll give it. Lead me. I've never found God to take advantage of us and our willingness to surrender or to give. He will never take advantage. He will never abuse. It will always be to your benefit. And then thirdly, take up your authority. Take up your authority in the spirit realm. Take up your authority. Take up your place on that mountaintop every day if you have to, and start proclaiming the blessings of God over your business, over your workplace, over your life. Hallelujah. Okay. Are you guys ready? We're going to read it together. I'm just going to pray for us before we read it. Father, we thank you. Thank you that there's power in declarations of truth. Thank you, Lord, that we can access that river of supernatural flow from the throne room of heaven. God, we thank you that you are good and faithful and trustworthy. And so, Lord, we just pray for every challenge represented here. God, we pray for every person. In terms of businesses, God, for turnaround. In Jesus' name. May I ask that if you are a business owner or manager, if you can maybe just come forward, we just want to pray for you. Or if you are working at a business that's struggling, that's financially battling, you don't know if it's going to work out, then also just come and stand here in the front. We just want to pray a blessing over you. Poverty is not of God. Poverty is not of God. And I know it's a challenge. The kingdom, the way the kingdom works is a challenge, because it's like you don't have much, so now you want to hold on. But actually, if you want more, you need to give. That's a challenge. But if you need 20,000, you only have 1,000, you might as well give the 1,000 because you need so much. That's kingdom logic. That's how many people actually operate. And then the Lord powerfully comes through. It's amazing. Hallelujah. Father, we bless your name. And God, we bring before you each and every business represented here. And we declare you are the source. God, we declare that you are powerful. God, we declare that you are faithful, Lord. And we just want to access right now, Lord, the blessing that was on Isaac. We want to access it, Lord. That you prospered him. He began to prosper. You continued to prosper him. And he prospered abundantly. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray the blessing of God over each and every business represented here, every workplace represented here. And we ask that you would bless them in the name of Jesus. And so, God, right now we release life over every business, Lord God. We release wisdom. We release understanding. God, we pray that each one would come and be planted in the middle of that river of life. Abundance of provision from you. And so right now, God, we release wisdom and understanding over each and every one here in the name of Jesus. God, lead them. Lord, give them faith. Give them faith, God. Give them faith for what's on your heart. Your blueprint. Your blueprint, God. We just thank you for a download of your grace, God, upon the business leaders and managers in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Just repeat the following as sort of a prayer to the Lord and say, Father God, I am your son. I thank you that I have access to all your resources. And I want to tap into you, into your wisdom, into your understanding, and into your blessing. I receive. And Lord, on behalf of this business, we receive the blessing of God. We receive wisdom and guidance from the King of Glory. And so Lord, right now, just say it. Lord, right now, I take up my place on the mountaintop. I take up my place as the spiritual authority in that place, in that business. And Lord, I command your blessing and break every curse. I break the curse of poverty in Jesus' name. I break the curse of lack in Jesus' name. And I call forth all the provision of God, supernatural favor upon this business in the name of Jesus. And I declare, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Let's just declare this. Father God, we declare your blessing on East London and on the Eastern Cape. And we ask, Lord, deliver us from poverty and prosper. Prosper this region. In Jesus' name, prosper businesses in this region. Create jobs, Lord. In Jesus' name. May it be the miracle of the Buffalo River. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God, we thank you. If you battle with fear in the area of your finances, would you just quickly raise your hand? I just want to pray for you. Just good to acknowledge this. Just bring it before the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we just pray for each one, God, that are battling in terms of the fear, the stress, the anxiety of not having enough. Thank you, God, that you place upon them the fear of God, that they may see, that we may see how big you are, how awesome you are, how faithful you are. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for your grace upon each one to find that place of surrender. Surrender to hand it over, to hand over the burden, the worry, the fear, and to know that you will provide. We declare it, God, you are the Lord our provider. We declare it, Lord, you will provide in Jesus' name. You will provide in Jesus' name. Let's declare that. You will provide in Jesus' name. Let's declare it again. You will provide in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We lift you up and bless you for that in Jesus' name. Let's just read that declaration together. As we give our tithes and offerings, we declare that we live in the glory of increase and multiplication. You meet all our needs according to your riches and glory. We experience great abundance because of you. We, our families, and East London live in overflow. You are the God of plenty, so we will never experience lack. We are blessed in everything. The storehouses of heaven are open to us. You are a good God, and we eagerly anticipate your goodness today. We bless your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. Lord, we bless your name. We bless your name, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As Father, we just release testimonies over each one here in the weeks to come, months to come. Testimonies of your supernatural provision as we surrender, as we sacrificially obey, as we take up our place on the mountaintop. In the name of Jesus. God, I just release that right now. I sense in my heart you saying there will be testimonies. There will be testimonies of your provision. And so, God, we release that today in the name of Jesus. Be lifted high. Be lifted high. Be glorified in Jesus' name. And all of God's people say, amen.